Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me just say this real quickly. You know, this morning, as we're worshiping, we had a moment that we don't do real often here at High Praise, but whenever the band just begins to play prophetically, we begin to worship the Lord in those moments. Listen, that is biblical and that is scriptural, okay? Whenever Saul was tormented by demons, what does he say? He says, "Go get me the minstrel. Go get me the musician." And it says that as David began to play skillfully as unto the Lord, that is when Saul found deliverance from the tormenting spirits. Can I tell you that in those moments where the band is just playing, we're not playing, though we have skill, we are playing as unto the Lord in that moment, and we're just saying, "Holy Ghost, Lord, use this moment as a prophetic moment that ministers to the heart of people as we play as your minstrels. Holy Ghost, you heal, you restore, you deliver, you do what you do best, and you do everything that we can't." So let me just encourage you in those moments, because they're going to become, I believe, more frequent as we are going into some beyond moments with our church. Let me encourage you to press in those moments, to push into what God wants to do in your life. Amen? Are you in Ephesians chapter 3? We've been in a series the last couple of weeks called Beyond. Somebody yell, Beyond. Beyond. We're talking about how God wants to take us beyond our circumstances, beyond what we can see, beyond what we can imagine, and into His perfect will, which is beyond our own. This has been a word, a prophetic word that the Lord gave me back in November, and He gave me this one word, beyond. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the second word He gave me behind that was unity. And I believe that God is about to do some beyond things as unity, as a new unity comes into the church. It's not that we've had division in our church, but I just believe there's a new heart of unity, which for sometimes for me, I'm like, God, I don't know how our church could get much more united than it is. We have an incredible church of believers that really unite with one another. They're there for one another and so on. But I just feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit saying, "I'm doing a fresh unity within your church body." And so we're holding on to that word. I'm going to preach on it some next week. And I do believe there are some practical things that we're going to do to example that unity. But I'm telling you, I believe that God wants to do beyond what you can think or imagine. You know, listen, the stuff with Miss Jenny is just the beginning of the beyond. I've said it every week, that things that happen corporately and are prophesied about corporately begin to take place where first? Personally, at your address, at your house. We didn't give this testimony in first service. We didn't give this testimony yet in this service, but we gave it in first service. Pastor Donna has an incredible testimony of a beyond moment that took place this week where the people in their work were given merit raises and merit promotions, and some people were getting about 16 cents. Most people were not getting a very large raise. Well, Pastor Donna got an over $2 an hour merit raise this year because God is beginning to do beyond what we can think or imagine. Can I tell you this morning, once again, it starts personally and then it spreads corporately. And see, whenever it spreads corporately, that's when whenever the faith has been built personally and God's done something for you personally. See, we see this. I'm going to preach this next week and I'm already ahead of myself. We see this in Acts chapter 2. What happens personally in the upper room happens corporately, and then they go corporately together in one accord to reach people to share about what happened in the upper room. See, what happens at your address, you're going to get together with some people that the same thing happened at their address, and then all of a sudden, you got to just lay arms with the person next to you, say, "I got to take this thing out of these seats and out of the church, and I got to tell somebody something good that God has done for me." It's got to happen personally. Then it happens corporately. This is the word beyond for you this year. Now let's read this morning. Let faith be stirred as we read the word of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, or we could even say this, abundantly above or beyond, because anything above you is beyond you.
Yes.
That is beyond me. We talked about this last night. That is beyond my reach. Exceedingly, abundantly, above or beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hear this, it goes on to say this: to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want you to think about this just for a moment when he says this: to all generations, to all generations. That means this: the miracle and the exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything you could think or ask or imagine goes beyond you too. It goes to all generations. The miracle that happens goes to your children and your children's children. The miracle that God is doing now is going to your children and your children's children. It's not, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of generations is what the word says. The miracles he did for, the miracle he did for Abraham, showing him he was going to be the father of many nations. Fast forward a little bit, Isaac does what? Sows in the year of famine. Shows forth miracles once again. When God starts in a generation, he will be faithful to continue in the next, and then continue to do in the next, and continue to do in the next. What is happening in your life now can be a legacy of miracles you leave for your family line. Generations. Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We've been talking about this beyond. And I'm going to give you a quick recap. If you haven't been here, the person who penned that text is Paul. Paul writes this from prison. Here's another view of generations. Paul writes this in prison, not thinking about in 2025 we would be reading the scripture to generations. And it's been passed down how? Through generations, to where now we can grab hold of the word in this generation and impart it to the next generation. And see what Paul did in a moment that was in prison, because it's not based on your circumstance. It's not based on your situation. It's not based on your situationship. It's not based on anything else, but God and his power working in us is what the scripture says. And so God is wanting to do something in you to be passed down to generations that you can tell your kids about. Well, this time when I was broke and I didn't have anything to my name, God showed up and provided all of a sudden. So son, I hear what you're going through, but listen, I know a God who will bring you through, not just leave you in where you're at. He'll bring you through. Paul writes this, and now it's impacting generations. We talked about that. We talked about taking thoughts captive into the obedience of Christ, being careful and watching what we're saying, because we're ensnared by the words of our mouth. So we lock ourselves in the words in which we speak. We limit God by the words by which we speak. We measure God by the words in which we speak. And I just really believe that God is wanting to do beyond some of the words that you have spoke about God and what he can do. God wants to do above that. We talked about how there's a powerful quote from Craig Groeschel that says, no one has ever made a great difference for God by playing it safe. And we talked numerous different things. The woman with the issue of blood. We've talked about Noah, and we've talked about how Isaac sowed in the year of famine, and listen, he returned. The return was a hundredfold blessing, amen? So I believe that we can continue to sow and believe for the beyond that God has for you. And y'all already are concerned because y'all saw the ladder back out. We're going to have to name this thing. Like, I don't know. Holy Spirit, that's what we'll name it for right now, because that's what it's going to. That's what we're going to see this morning. So we're going to continue in this idea. The Holy Spirit gave me another idea on how to visually show you this today. We talked about last week how small steps of faith don't seem like much. It's easy to take the small step, but it gets more challenging as you take further steps.
Right.
You get higher. You get a little further. And the higher you get, the less that you can trust in your own strengths. The less you can trust in your own limitations. And see, last week when I got up here, and I got all the way up here, y'all got scared. Y'all were gasping. Oh no, he's gonna fall. Oh ye of little faith. Y'all are concerned. My wife got up and walked to the back. That's just because she doesn't see me on a ladder very often. Dylan said there's one more step. I won't do that. Okay, yeah, it does say this is not a step. So that's going too far. Wait, nope, this is painted over. It's still a step. But... Listen, last week we talked about though how the Holy Spirit is our helper, and this ladder was signifying the Holy Ghost and how it helps us reach the next step when we believe in faith. And we got to believe more in Him and let it, and know that this is what's going to hold us. This is what's going to get us to where we're going. But y'all started gasping. We'll get there. I want to get ahead of myself. But y'all started gasping. We'll talk about it in just a minute. How many of you are believing for the beyond this year? How many of your faith has been stirred over the last couple weeks in this message? Amen? Listen, you may want to write this down. Every beyond moment has a foundation floor. Every beyond moment has a foundation floor. Will you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. We're going to read this real quickly. I do recognize what time it is, and time is just a number. So, how many of you in school, if you can remember that far back, because I can't. Listen, I did not just get done with school. Anyways. How many of you knew at school you started with 5 times 5? Anybody? No. Where'd you start with numbers? When it came to numbers, where'd you start?
0 plus 1.
0 plus 1. But before that, guess what? You had to learn what a number is. What is numbers? Why is numbers? Where is numbers? How is numbers? You had to learn what numbers actually were. The place value system, all of those great little things, how to draw the number and all that. There was a foundation floor that was set so that you could go beyond 0 plus 1 to 1 plus 2 and then 2 plus 3. And then you started to get into subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, and you kept going where? Beyond where your mind could comprehend in that moment. It was always bringing you to somewhere beyond, but the foundation floor had to be set first before you could go to the next step, right? There's always a foundation to anything beyond where we are now. Let's read the scripture real quickly. It says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine or these words of mine and does them, somebody say hears. Or your translation might say this, puts them into practice or does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says hears again, look at that, we're gonna come back to it, but does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. Or we could replace that word for a moment with it failed them. And great was its fall. Jesus here is in context, he's teaching people on how to build their life properly. In this parable, there's two builders, the wise builder who hears and obeys, and there's the foolish builder. Now, listen, this is not the words of Pastor Micah, this is the words of Jesus. If you're reading from an actual Bible or maybe even a Bible app, that should be red letters. This is Jesus speaking a parable, a story. Jesus says those that don't build on the rock are foolish. And not acting on the words of Jesus, guess what he says? That's foolishness. The difference is, listen, they're both hearers, but it's whether they are doing or not doing. It's whether they're building on rock or sand. Notice as they both hear the words. Can I say this? The foundation to the beginning, or the doorway to the open doorway to the foundation of your faith is hearing the word. Okay? Somebody say, hear the word.
Hear the word.
How is faith built? Hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, it is impossible to please God without faith, which means this: it is impossible to please God without hearing his words. Without hearing his heart and knowing who he is, it's impossible to please him. Listen, you know, I'm in a relationship, in case you didn't know. This beautiful lady right here on the front row, we've been married for this year, will be 13 years. And you know what? We've loved each other for a long, long time, such a long time. And we really, really put in a lot of work into our relationship. But listen to me. It is impossible to please my wife. Take that the way you want. Without knowing her, biblically, and actually just knowing about her. Which means I have to do what? When she is going through something, guess what I gotta do? Men, grow your ears and listen to your spouse. I've got to listen to her. I have to give weight to what she is saying. I have to know what she is saying, not interpret the way that I want it to be and try to tell her how she feels. I have to know how she's feeling, listen to her, and then from there, there is a way by which I can please my wife, how we can love one another, live in unity, live in harmony with one another. The same thing goes with your relationship with the Lord. You've got to hear. You got to hear and listen. And can I tell you, you reading your Bible whenever I read it to you is not enough. You've got to read the word. You've got to listen to the word. You've got to let faith arise through the word of God, because the beginning of the foundation of faith is hearing and knowing the word. You can't have a foundation of faith without that. Matter of fact, James even speaks of this too. James turns around in James 1, and I believe it's verse 22, he says that he talks about how those that hear the word but don't do it are like those that go observe themselves in a mirror and then turn from the mirror and forget who they are. But it goes on to say that those that hear the word and do it, at the end of the text, it says this about that person. Not only will they remember who they are and their identity in Christ, which is great, but it goes beyond that, and it says that they will be blessed. What is blessing? Blessing is anything beyond where you are now. If I receive something greater than where I am now, that is a what? It's a blessing. The Bible clearly tells us time and time again, those that live in accordance to the word will live in blessing. In other words, they will live in the beyond that God has for us. But we have to be not just hearers, we have to be doers also. Pastors Richard and Gail Parenchief, who ministered in our four-year anniversary service, we went to dinner with them one night when they were here, and we loved this couple so dearly. They're an incredible church, huh? 3 year? No, it wasn't 2 year. It was the 4 years, this past one. Okay. That was McFessel's. You're right, it was 3 year. Wow, time flies when you're having fun, guys. It's our 3 year anniversary. And we got the opportunity to sit with them and eat with them. And we're talking about some personal things and also some ministry things that we need to pray on, and, you know, some wisdom, some counsel. And they gave us this wisdom. And I want you to hear this today. When you pray, this is your prayer. Your prayer is this or better. This is what they told us. When you pray this or better. Lord, because I'm going from glory to glory and faith to faith. God doesn't want to take me back. He wants to take me forward. So my prayer is in accordance with his will and his purpose whenever I say, Lord, I'm believing for this or better. Where I'm at right now, whatever's next, it's going to be where I am now, or it's going to be even greater than that. That is accordance to the will and purpose and plan of God. That's what he desires for his children, is that. The children of Israel went somewhere else. They came out of Egypt. I don't want to go back to Egypt. Right? What's funny is when you study that story, they wanted to go back because there was a desert season. Can I tell you, like when Miss Jenny prayed, she was coming out of Egypt, but then there was the desert season. She prayed and prayed and prayed. But she didn't go back. She went forward, this or better. See, but the children of Israel, whenever they're in the desert season, they go, Moses, why'd you bring us here to die? At least there was food back there. See, they were speaking to their fleshly desires, not the spirit that what God wanted to do. And where God was taking them was better than the way that where they wanted to go back to. And even in the desert, they complained and said, it would have been better for me to go back. How often do we say, it would have been better for me to go back to my flesh? It would have been better for me to just keep doing what I was doing because this is very uncomfortable right now. Desert seasons. But that doesn't mean that the beyond isn't on the way. This or better. It was better not to get beaten up every day and be a slave and have to trust in the supply of the Lord than it was to have some food in my belly and be beaten up over and over again. It was better to believe in faith, trust in God, than to be beaten in Egypt. Okay, y'all with me? Let's talk about this for a minute. I see what time it is. The importance of firm foundation, let's talk about this for a second. The wise builder obviously represents someone who is not just a hearer of the word, but also puts the word into practice. They're building on Jesus Christ, the solid rock. When we build our lives, his word becomes the blueprint for every decision that we make when we truly build on Jesus. It's not just about knowing Jesus. It's about knowing him personally. Many know Jesus. Not everyone knows him personally. The person of Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That means that he is a person to know. He is a personable God. Can I tell you that there are people in the world who know a lot about Jesus that are well educated, about probably more educated than you are, about Jesus. But they don't know him personally. And knowing Jesus personally changes the relationship completely. We have to know Jesus personally. We have to know his word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to know God's word. We have to know who he is in faith and know him personally, walk with him personally. You can't have a firm foundation of faith if you don't know Jesus personally. We talked about this last week about taking steps of faith, confidence in the Holy Spirit. Taking those steps, believing in him, the Holy Spirit will be our helper, right? So last week, whenever I was taking these steps, nobody said anything when I stepped here, right? Because this is like a normal step. Like, that's nothing, Pastor. But then as I began to ascend, it got a little higher, and a little higher, and a little higher. And some of y'all really freaked out when I did this one. Yeah. When I got all the way up here, y'all were gasping. Some of you had your oxygen mask on. I'll just play. Y'all are calling the police, OSHA, paramedics, just in case. Don't worry, Michael's here. He's got me, okay, if I fall. He's here today, so if I fall, everything's gonna be okay. No, y'all were all freaking out. I wasn't scared at all. I wasn't scared at all. Y'all were looking at me going, oh, that ladder seems a little shaky. Ooh, I don't know about that, Pastor. You get on ladders often? Do you know ladder safety? No. Y'all were freaking out. But see, I had an understanding that the foundation that this is on is firm, and I have an understanding that I don't weigh more than the weight capacity that this ladder will take, so I had zero concerns at all. You saw a little bit of shake, rattle, and roll, and you're freaking out. I feel great up here. I can see you that are texting right now instead of listening. I'm gonna start preaching every week from a ladder. If Holy Ghost ain't watching, I am. Y'all freaking out. But I have a revelation and understanding that what I'm building, what I've placed this on is firm to hold me. Can I say this like this? let's just for a moment, this is a strong foundational floor, okay? This, especially the outsides, the add-ons that we did, those are built for like, I don't know, we over-engineered, okay? But it's okay. We had the extra wood, so we made it sturdy, okay? But this is a firm floor, kind of like Jesus. Jesus is a firm foundation for our lives. And everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life is founded in Jesus first. So the foundation is Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit is my helper. You understanding this? So whenever I am ascending to where Holy Spirit wants me to go, though people may go, what are you doing? That is crazy. Why are you throwing your foot over the top? I know that I'm on a firm foundation, and this thing's not going to let me go or let me down. See, people can say things all day long, but whenever you are persuaded, I've got a relationship with Jesus, I'm firmly founded on Him, and the Holy Spirit helps me for the rest of the way, I'm not worried about anything. Say what you want. Do what you want. But God never leaves me or forsakes me. He's always there, taking it to the next level, glory to glory, faith to faith, all the way into the beyond. Okay? I'll stay with us this morning. So, firm foundation, Holy Ghost. House built on the firm foundation is what Jesus is talking about. Storm comes, it ain't going to fall, it's going to stand. He also paints a beautiful picture of this, someone who builds their house on the sand. In contrast, that's the foolish builder, representing an unstable, temporary things like circumstances, human wisdom, material possessions, your own strengths, your own desires, your own experiences, what you've been through. That is the sand of life. And when you try to build on that, Jesus calls it foolish. Yes. Jesus calls it foolishness. Right. So, we're going to continue in this. So many of us, we build on what we know. I'm going to build on some money. Yeah. I've got money. I'm like Scrooge McDuck. I got money. See, Dylan said, oh, yeah, don't say anything about me not lifting anymore, okay? Money. I'm going to build on some money. What else I got here, Dylan? I got circumstances, my own circumstances. Many of us try to build on our circumstances, our relationship status. What we know to be true. What we think to be true. We build on these things. You know what? I put a foundation of circumstances. Okay, there we go. You still awake? All right. These are heavy, y'all. I'm gonna build on my own strengths. Man, I know some things. Because strength is more than just physical. It can be mental, too. Yeah. Right? I'm gonna build on what I know to be true. I'm gonna build on my own abilities, my own talents. Can I tell you, Dylan, you're gonna have to hold up for a minute because I gotta talk for a second. Can I tell you, that's why that light was jacked up. Can I tell you that this church is not built on the strengths of anybody other than the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, is what Jesus said. This church, listen, we got great people who can do a lot of awesome things. But listen, without the Holy Ghost, without a foundation of Jesus, this is all for nothing because it's going to crumble. But what I'm saying is we are building on the rock a firm foundation, and the Holy Spirit's going to take us to beyond. All right, last one. Thank you, Dylan. I'm real Vanna White over here. Building, he's got the blondish hair too. We're going to build on experiences. I can't even talk about when we talk about the church. Worship experiences. Oh man, if we could just do this really cool thing like Elevation did. Did you see that? I want to be just like Transformation Church. Not saying these are bad churches, please don't misunderstand me.
Right.
Let's see what kind of experiences we can build on. Maybe your own personal life experience and past, your hurts and your successes. I can build on those things. No, you can't. You can't. But oftentimes, we lay the foundation, right? We say, these are good things to build on. Circumstances, strength, money, experience. These things will get me far. And in the West, in the world we live in, guess what? People will tell you that will get you far. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord God Almighty. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run in to find safety. So Jesus paints this picture of someone building on the sand. This is the sand of life. But recognize this. Jesus says the invitation to the foundation of faith is given to both. What's the invitation to the foundation of faith? Hearing. That's the invitation to the foundation of faith. Hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus paints the picture that both hear. James paints the picture that both hear. I'm going to give you a hard truth. You ready for this? Buckle your seatbelts and get your pen ready. Because you can sit in church every Sunday. Every single time the doors are open and not be building on the solid rock. You can serve in church every weekend in your own strength and not be really having a strong foundation of faith with Jesus. You can, and your own strength will get you so far. Can I tell you this morning? I just squat. Look at that. Just going to get my workout in while I preach this morning, okay? Listen, I'm going to take these home. I'm going to start working out with these. These are good. Can I tell you that your strengths will end up leaving you weak? And whenever you're weak, that's when you need His grace to be made perfect in your weakness. Huh? So you can build on your own strength. Yeah, I can serve every single Sunday. But that's not a foundation of faith. Is it a good thing? Absolutely. Well, Pastor, you know, I work all the time. And I'm one of the biggest givers in the church. Every time there's an opportunity to give and be generous. Oh, you see me there, Pastor. I'm giving. That's great. Thank you for furthering the kingdom that way. But how is your foundation? It's great you make a bunch of money. What's your foundation like? What's your foundation like? You want to build on this? I'm telling you, it will crumble and fall. You want to know why? Money fades.
Yep.
Experiences change.
Yep.
Circumstances change.
Yep.
And you get old and become weak.
Yep.
Someone said, that's right. I think it was Ms. Kathy. Your strengths change. What you were strong in before, you might not be strong in anymore. Because seasons change. Let's keep going. You sit in church every Sunday, not building on the rock. Jesus literally is telling them, you can listen to the word made flesh as I speak, but still be building on the sands of life. Lord, bend us. Lord, convict us and change us. Notice, though, how in both scenarios, too, the wise and the foolish, the storm was no respecter of persons. It says the storm still comes. The rain, the streams, the wind, all those things still came. In other words, what Jesus is painting a picture of, you can hear the word. And guess what? Either way, the storm is still coming. There's still going to be some shifting moments. There's still going to be some rain. There's still going to be some tornadoes. There's still going to be some wind. There's still going to be some streams. There's still going to be some things that come and try to knock you over. The difference is, what are you built on? What? I'm saying this. Some of y'all just need to be built different. As Christians, we need to be built different. Huh? Jesus also tells us, in this world, you'll have trouble, tribulations, problems, trials, errors, situations, situationships, fading, things that fade. All these different things are going to take place, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. In other words, if you're built on the rock, you can be of good cheer. Storms are part of life. Remember, write this down. It's not whether the storm will come, but whether we are built on a foundation that can withstand the storm. Because the storm is going to come. But it's whether you're built on the foundation that can withstand the storm. Y'all still with me? I promise you, I'm coming to a close. Y'all stay with me for a few more minutes. We talked about believing for beyond this year. I'm no contractor, and just because I'm wearing camo today doesn't make me any more Southern. The amount of hunting jokes I've got today. When building a home, here in Florida, we don't have to deal with this quite as much. We don't have to go as deep in our foundations because of the climate and the temperature. So oftentimes here in Florida, we'll do a construction. It'll be built what's called on grade, which means you get all the sand, clay, all mixture in there. You level it out, so on and so forth, pack it in, and then lay out the foundation, pour the foundation. It's built on grade, okay? That's going to be only so thick a foundation. When you get to colder climates, they have to actually put the foundation into the ground some. Normally about 5 to 6 foot deep is where they go. It has to be above the frost line or whatever it's called, okay? So single level homes only have to go so deep, right? However, anything beyond that, as we grow higher, guess where we have to build from? A deeper foundation. When building skyscrapers, they can build up to 400 plus feet deep of a foundation before they even go vertical. Wow. There's a word here, listen. Before you go vertical, not after, before you go up, you've got to go down. Before you go up, you've got to build deep. Your relationship with Jesus has to be deep and surely founded before you can go vertical. We want the Instagram fame. We want the Instagram house. We want the BK have it your way. We want the miracle in the works. We want that thing now. But according to Scripture, and according to just understanding of natural things that do translate into spiritual things, we have to build deep before. And what have we said about this church since day one for people who have been with us? We are going to go deep before we go wide. We're going to go deep before we go wide. Can I say we're going to go deep before we go vertical, before we go up into the beyond? The higher beyond you go, the deeper the foundation with Jesus. It has to be. Amen? No matter how high you go, this is the truth of the matter. I'm spilling. No matter what, fear and doubt are inevitable. Meaning this. There will be things that try to bring fear and doubt into your life. That's the storm. I know that my kids, whenever, though we live in a house that has a firm foundation, we live in a newer home, guess what? When a storm comes, what happens? Dad, the lightning's really, really bad. Dad, I can hear the wind. I know. We're going to be okay. We're safe. Dad's very weather aware. Promise you. Storms come as an invitation to fear and doubt. But when we're built on Jesus, we know that we will be safe. So, here we go. It's impossible to step into the unknown that God has for you if your foundation is not firm. So, let's talk about this as we come to a close for the fourth time. If I were to want to go to the beyond, we've talked about this a lot, right? I want the Holy Ghost to help me. But let's just say for a minute I decide to build on circumstances. Maybe some money. Or maybe my experiences of my past. Some of y'all already getting scared. maybe I want to build on my own strengths. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to build on, baby. How many of y'all think that's better? Or is this better?
Oh, that's
better. Oh, so much better, right? Too bad. All right. I want to build on money. I want to build on my circumstance. I want to build on my experience that I have. And I want to build on my strengths. Yeah, I'm going to build on that. Ladder's still the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. Okay? You can call on the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit can live and dwell within you. But that does not mean you have a firm foundation with Jesus. The firm foundation is your job. That is your responsibility to tend to that relationship and foundation. So, here we go. I'm going to build on circumstances. Y'all ready? Guys, it seems fine. See, When I went to go take the steps, some of y'all are already gasping. Now, let's see. Whenever I was over here, firm foundation, I took the step and you're like, nothing, no big deal. I can even go higher now and y'all don't even gasp anymore. Because y'all seen the testimony. But as soon as I try to build my life on money, circumstances, strength, or experience, y'all all of a sudden collectively go, listen, that's a good thing. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. See, once I'm already in the foundation of Christ and I'm moving in the will and purpose and plan of the Holy Ghost, you can say as much as you want as high as I get because the Holy Ghost still got me. But see, whenever you speak a word before I even take the step, that's called being a good friend.
Come on.
That's called being a good friend. Warning signs, hey, that's not safe. Your foundation is wrong, Pastor, right now. So what you did was also a sign and a visual for you that when you see people building on incorrect foundations, it's okay to gasp a little bit. It's okay to say something with kindness in your heart towards them. Say, listen, I don't feel like that is in line with the Word of God. That's not a foundation of Jesus. Don't take that step. The problem is we have people who still take the step. And then while they're trying to take the step, like, oh, and then something doesn't feel right. Let's try to figure out, make sure a better place. And we're there going, no, stop it. Yeah. You're like, I got this. My circumstances won't fail me. My money won't fail me.
Come on.
And what happens is the higher I get with this, the more pressure this has to hold and sustain, which means the sand starts giving way and ultimately leads to what? Me crumbling and falling. Can I tell you that today you can't build on your money, your circumstances, your strength, or your experience, or anything that you know? You've got to take and build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the rock of all ages, and from there, now we can believe God. Now we can trust God. Now we can go beyond. Y'all with me today?
Amen.
The ladder may look fine in the beginning, but the higher you go, the more uneven the foundation. You start recognizing the issues with the foundation. Some of y'all are failing spiritual OSHA standards because you want to go high immediately.
Come on.
Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has proven himself faithful time after time after time. Jesus is the rock, the eternal foundation that can't be shaken. His word is unchanging and always true, and we can build on him to go to the beyond. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's Paul's writings, what he tells us. He encourages us, you can't lay your own. He's saying this. You can't lay your own foundation. It's not going to work. He's letting us know you got to lay the foundation which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, our foundation can never be our circumstance. It must always be Jesus. That's the final thought for today. Our foundation can never be circumstance. Our foundation can never be money-driven. Y'all got quiet on that one. Y'all agree with circumstance. When we talk about money, we go... Y'all just come back in March, because I'm going to be doing a series on the Pharisaical spirit. And Jesus had a lot to say about some of the things that we love and hold dearly, and then some of the things that we don't like to practice as much or would harm the things we love and hold dearly. We would rather have those than to do the things Jesus said. And Lord, break us of that. Convict us of that. Change our hearts. Change our minds into the will, purpose, plan, and calling that you have for us. We're going to flip some tables in March. No man can lay a foundation other than Jesus. Our foundation can never be our money. Our foundation can never be our experience, our strengths, our circumstances. Those things can only get you so far. Our foundation must always be Jesus. So the question is, what foundation do you believe you're building on today? And let me just tell you today, if you've heard this word today and you say, Pastor, I feel like there's some areas where I've been building on wrong foundations, that's a good thing, friend. I'm glad. Because that means this, that the Holy Spirit is exploiting things in your life personally, not to everyone around you, to you personally. He's speaking to you right now. And he's saying, hey, friend, we're going to change these things. We're going to move towards a better life. We're going to move towards a better path because he wants you to experience the beyond power that he has. Ms. Tom, we can play. Listen, building on the right foundation isn't about just hearing the word. It's about living it out on a daily basis. That means this. It means that whenever you need healing, you go and pray for those who need healing. That's living out the word. That means that whenever you are in need of a financial miracle, that you continue to sow in the year of famine. That's living out the word. When someone needs a friend, and you yourself feel lonely and have been battling loneliness, go to that person. Be a friend. Be someone who loves their neighbor even as themselves. That's the word. We've got to build on a better foundation, and that is Jesus, the perfect foundation. I believe that as we do that, we're going to see the beyond promises that God has for us. Amen? Will you stand up to your feet today and lift your hands to the Lord?